think, and this is just my opinion, that the second most important verse is Habakkuk 1:13. Habakkuk 1:13. This is why Jesus had to cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God is a holy God, and he cannot look upon sin. And so what I want to do is look at Habakkuk 12:13 and talk about the holiness of God, the love of God, and the holiness of God. Look at Habakkuk 1:12. Thou art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Why? Verse 13. For thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And then he answers that in the rest of the book. This is one of the key verses in the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 1, the prophet is troubled. Chapter 2, the prophet is taught by God. Chapter 3, the prophet is triumphant. Chapter 3 is a praise song. But he's troubled because he sees the country going down the tubes. He sees people having no regard for the law, having no regard for God. And he sees God using a more evil country to punish them. And it just doesn't make any sense to them. Manfred Gutsky, in his commentary, said, "The dilemma of a believing man in an ungodly world where sin abounds." Many of you remember Red Skelton. I remember one of his jokes that's more ironic than funny. Red Skelton said, two people were talking. They said, "Hey, isn't that the guy that went to prison for murder, rape, kidnapping, and armed robbery?" And the other man said, "Yeah, they let him out for good behavior." Boy, that's a commentary on our legal system. Lucille Ball from I Love Lucy said, "I am shocked that I am not shocked anymore." Milton Berle said, "People sow their wild oats and pray for a crop failure." Isn't that the truth? There was a radio preacher that went wild on the radio one day, and he preached that there were 812 sins people could do, and everybody wrote in for a list to see what they were missing out on. It's the way it goes. Habakkuk 1:12, God is eternal. Habakkuk 1:13, God is holy. What about God's character? God is different from us in his existence. He is eternal, we are not. God is different in his essence. He is sinless, and we are. We're all sinners. So I want to do four things this morning. First of all, I want to talk about God's sanctity, God's holiness. Exodus 15:11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness?" Psalm 99:9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship in his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Isaiah saw the throne of God. Isaiah 6, he saw all the cherubim around it. And what were they saying around God's throne praising him? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." God is holy. Revelation 15:4, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy." We get the idea sometimes that God grades on a curve. Well, if the good outweighs the bad, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to heaven. Well, I'm 80% good and 20% bad, or I'm 90% good and 10% bad. I think God's going to let me in. I don't know. If I take 99 gallons of pure spring water and dump in 1 gallon of raw sewage out of a septic tank, is that water 99% pure or 100% contaminated? Yeah. God has a standard. "Be ye therefore holy, even as our Father in heaven is holy." I had a chance this week. I'm teaching an honors course called Moses, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad. And of course, you can guess what it's about. Moses, Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad. Okay. So we did Moses, and then we did the Ten Commandments. And I was talking about why we need the Ten Commandments. Why would God give the Ten Commandments? And so I asked them, and it's all girls in that class, okay? It's all young women, I'm sorry. Look like girls to me. Anyway, and I said, okay, how many of you are pretty good people? How many of you think you'll probably go to heaven? I said, okay, it says thou shalt not lie. Ever told a lie? Well, yeah. What does that make you? A liar? Okay, you ever stole anything? You ever borrowed something, forgot to give it back? Well, yeah. What does that make you? Well, I guess it makes me a thief. You ever used a bad word? Well, yeah. Well, God calls that blasphemy, taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, God's last name is not damn. I kind of got their attention, okay? Well, yeah. Okay, so that makes you a blasphemer. You ever looked at a guy and thought he was pretty cute? You ever lusted in your heart? Well, yeah. Now, I've got 16-year-old girls in that class. Do they lust in their heart? Absolutely. Not as much as 16-year-old boys, but they do. Okay? I'm going to tell you what. If you've got your you need to tell your grandsons to have a date with their daughter when they turn 12, 13, and explain to them what guys are like, because they need to hear it. Okay? I said, so you've done all those things. Well, yeah. So what does that make you? That makes you a lying, blaspheming, thieving adulterer. Do you think God's going to let you into heaven? Well, I guess not. We were talking about the fact that Paul said the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to God. The Ten Commandments teach us why we need God and why we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. God's sanctity, number two, our sinfulness. Isaiah 64:6, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's a verse, Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now you see there are three words there. Number one is sin, hamartia in the Greek. And we have some people in our church that are pretty good shots. We have some people in our church that think they're pretty good shots, okay? What does hamartia mean? It means you've got a target, you're shooting at it with a bow, and you keep missing the whole target. That is a picture of sin. God has a target, and we keep missing it. We keep missing it. We keep missing it. Hamartia. The word iniquity, anomia, lawlessness, twisting what is good. What is pride? Love is a good thing. God is love. What is pride? Too much love of yourself. What is gluttony? Too much love of food. What is lust? Too much love of physical desire. What is covetousness? Too much love for what somebody else has. You see, iniquity is taking something good and twisting it. And then the third word is transgression. Parabates, to step off the path. God has a straight and narrow. God has a sidewalk he wants us to walk on. But we step to the side of. We step off of the path. We transgress. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And he forgave me my sins. That's what sin is, and we are sinners. Guys, it only takes one soldier going over the wall to open the gate so the whole army can come in and conquer a city. It only took one hollow wooden horse to capture the city of Troy after 10 years of battle. There was a pastor in Australia, and he preached on sin. Next week, some guy comes to his office, one of his leaders, and he says, Preacher, we don't want you to talk as plainly as you do about sin, because if our boys and girls hear you talking so much about sin, they will more easily become sinners. Call it a mistake if you want to, but don't speak so plainly about sin. Pastor took a little bottle off the shelf, and it said, this is strychnine. It's labeled poison. What if I change the label to vanilla, to peppermint? It would still be poison. Don't you see what happens? The milder you make the label, the more dangerous the poison. Oh, it's not a sin. It's just a mistake. He's not a drunk. He's just an alcoholic. It's not a sin. It's just an error. It's not a sin. It's just a blunder. It's not a sin. It's just a slip up. It's not a sin. It's just an oversight. Guys, the milder you make your label, the more dangerous you make the poison. It's sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's sanctity, our sinfulness, our separation. We are separated from God because we're sinners. And he is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Habakkuk 1:13. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot, what? Hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. We're separated from God because we're sinners and he is not. The only way to God is to have Jesus on our side. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Anselm of Canterbury in 1250 wrote a book called Codeo Homo, Why God Became Man. Now, he was Archbishop of Canterbury after William the Conqueror conquered England in 1066, the Battle of Hastings. Anselm wrote this book on why Jesus had to die on the cross in our place. And it's a dialogue between Anselm as the teacher and his student who wasn't so smart. And his student's name, and you can't make this up, his student's name was Bozo. In the book, okay? So Bozo says, but God loves us. And Anselm says, you don't understand how serious sin is. Bozo says, but God can overlook our mistakes. And Anselm says, you don't understand how serious sin is. Bozo comes up in the book with excuse after excuse after excuse. And every time Anselm says, you don't understand how serious sin is. Habakkuk 1:13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Romans 3:10, there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and me, every one of us, we have come short because we don't understand the seriousness of sin. It's interesting if you live up north, and I don't know why anybody would, but if you live up north, that's because they don't know any better, okay? They live up north, the ground freezes, and during the winter it gets harder and harder and harder. You can't even bury people until the ground thaws in the spring because the ground's too hard, okay? What happens? The sun has to melt the ground before you can do anything with it, before you can plant. I remember trying to have a garden. We can't plow your garden. It will make clods. Okay, I had lots of clods. It takes the sun to thaw the ground. It takes the sun of righteousness to thaw our hearts, guys. There is God's sanctity, our sinfulness, our separation, and then there's God's salvation. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins shall be as scarlet, they can be made as white as snow, because God loves us. Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Someone said to me one time, I don't understand how a man who died 2,000 years ago can affect my life. I got news for you. I don't know how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. But it happens all the time. We don't have to understand it to accept it. We don't have to understand it to take advantage of it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's sanctity, our sinfulness, our separation, God's salvation. Jesus died for us. The greatest king of the Middle Ages was Charlemagne. He was crowned on Christmas Day, 800 AD, as the king of the Holy Roman Empire. He died in 813, and they buried him in a tomb underneath the dome of the cathedral at Aix-la-Chapelle, France. It's very, very unusual because the way they buried him preaches a sermon. Under the floor in the tomb, they put a beautiful stone throne that kings had been crowned in for hundreds of years. They put Charlemagne in his robes. They set him on the throne. They put a Bible in his lap, and they pointed his finger at a Bible verse. And the verse was, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" This man was the greatest king of the Dark Ages. This is the man who united Europe and created the countries of Germany and France and Belgium as they are today. And yet when he died, he planned to be buried that way because of the truth of that verse. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What does it profit you to hang on to anything in this world if it's going to cause you to lose your soul in the next world? That's the question. And yet God tells us there is a way. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Habakkuk 1:13 is the bad news. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. John 3:16 is the good news. God will accept us through what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. God is holy. We are not, but we are made holy in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is our righteousness if you trust and believe in him. And that's what we're going to sing about. Hymn number 312, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Sinner, oh sinner, come home. And if you've never done that, you need to do that this morning. Let's stand together and sing.